Final hour here on Weekend Huddle, 102.5 The Game. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly. Just discussed Tennessee's addition to the Adidas family. And with that, they bring in what we hope is good uniforms. But historically, with Adidas, they've had some really, really, really bad uniforms. The smoky grays for me come to mind with the bad level. You know, it was all smoky and they had like the pro combat stuff on it. White helmet. Looked terrible. So we ask you the question, the listener. Text or call us at 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What is the worst uniform of all time in college football? I have some that come to mind. I'm sure you guys do as well. Nick Frazier, why don't you give us your answer?
There are a lot to choose from, but for me, I really don't like the... I think Notre Dame had some like brown alternates. You know what I'm talking about? Like they used
Notre
like a,
Dame brown alternates.
No, it wasn't like all brown. It was like the helmet was like a dark gold. It was almost like a brown color. Like their pants were. I'll have to look at it. Let me see real quick. We were talking about Notre Dame and it kind of kindled on my brain.
Yeah, we were.
Let's see. The alternate jersey. It just did not. I did not like it. Let's see.
Do you like Notre Dame's green when they wear green?
I'm okay with that. I think the green gives a little pizzazz, a little something extra.
It's something different.
I like the green.
Yeah.
I like the green.
I like they wore it against Ohio State a couple years ago.
Yeah.
All green.
It may not have been Notre Dame's alternative.
I don't like the silver that Notre Dame has worn.
Notre Dame's worn silver?
It's like gray. I forgot. I think that it was like when they had a neutral field game, they wore silver.
It was the pants.
Yes.
Yes, the pants.
I did not like that.
Was that the game at Yankee Stadium?
Yes.
Where they wore the pinstripe.
Right.
Yes.
I hated those.
Yeah, I did not like that.
Navy helmet, it looked terrible.
I did not like that.
Mine would probably have to be, do you guys remember when Florida decided to wear...
Connor, I knew you were going to steal mine.
Connor, I thought about this morning.
I knew you were going to steal mine, Connor.
When Florida in 2017 against A&M. Yep.
I have it pulled up on my... They decided, the gator skin.
They decided they wanted to wear green.
I thought that was an earlier uniform. I thought they wore that a lot sooner than 2017.
It was fairly recent. Are you talking about the gator skin?
Yeah.
I have it pulled up right. That was mine.
They wore it in 2017 against A&M. It is quite literally possibly the worst uniform I have ever seen. Some others that come to mind. Actually, I have a text on my personal text line driven by my bank account. My mother.
You thought you were about to get one.
My mother, in an effort to piss me off into oblivion, has said Oregon in general.
Okay. Save the Ducks.
I personally
love all the Ducks uniforms. The all yellow is hard for me to get behind with Oregon. But everything else, like I don't have a problem with.
See, I like the yellow, but they got to wear black hats and black pants.
Yeah.
I don't know why Oregon just doesn't go with their throwback logo.
Those are Oregon.
The UO interlocking.
Uh-oh, we have an update.
It was Illinois, not Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Illinois.
Yes.
The brown helmets.
I kind of like those.
No, disgusting.
By the way, I was in Champaign recently.
Yeah.
On Wednesday.
I saw you.
And I got to go on their field. It was incredible. The staff there, very nice. Very nice. They just allowed me to walk right out onto the field. Got to talk to them for a little bit. Really nice people.
The Packers are doing the brown helmet thing this year, too.
Yeah.
Why?
But I'm not a fan of those as well.
All right. I got one. Since Connor stole mine,
sorry.
I had to come up with another
one.
We share the same mind. So Michigan State, they did a uniform where they had their dark green and it had state across and it was like neon green.
Lime
and then
green.
The pants
were neon green as well. And I'm just like, ugh. Like you're clashing greens.
They
right
trotted
there,
those out. Yeah, and it was like, what are you doing?
Now Michigan State has had some good uniforms. You know, the chrome gold with the green Spartan, like that looks really nice. But when you're clashing,
look good.
You're clashing the dark green with the neon green, like I cannot get behind it.
I got one that it's a Tennessee uniform. It never made the shelves because I think the fans, it got leaked to social media and the fans were like, this can't be real. And it fired the fan base up really bad. Parker will know what I'm talking about. You guys might know as well. It was a smoky gray uniform with checkerboard shoulders, and it had Vols across the chest. It was absolutely horrendous. Mm-hmm. And it was posted to social media, I think 2014, 2015. And everybody thought it was a joke. And they're like, this can't be real. And then it was leaked that, yes, this was a uniform that Adidas planned to roll out, and they didn't because of the fan backlash. So that might be why some of the Tennessee fan base is a little bit skeptical about this new partnership with Adidas. But I didn't know that Tennessee had creative control, so hopefully things are much better.
That's
this
why
time
UT
around.
Will listen to the fans. And oh, I got another one. Colorado State. They did a orange uniform.
Yeah,
and like,
they
it
still
was
wear
like
those.
Green. Like mm-hmm. the helmet was green, but the Rams horns were orange. And I'm like, that's not your colors. Like yeah. orange is not
that's,
your color. So
that is one of my pet peeves is when teams roll out colors that aren't their own. Like I have a hard time getting into like the City Connects a lot because
yeah. Yeah.
a lot
oh,
of them are
the
just
NBA.
Well,
or are you talking about
two, but baseball as well?
Oh, right, right.
Like
right.
the Boston Red Sox, for example. I understand the meaning behind the, you know, the old marathon thing or whatnot, but they roll out blue hats and yellow tops. And
I thought they were the Brewers for a second
yeah,
when I was watching.
They look terrible. Like they just look awful.
To your point, Connor, about City Connects, Philadelphia and Detroit, their City Connects in baseball. Almost identical.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Phillies, really? For some reason, are blue, baby blue and white, and the Lions. The Detroit Tigers are like a dark blue and white, and a little hint of, I think, a little hint of blue in there? Like light blue? I don't know. I have to go double check, but primarily dark blue and white. I'm just like, come on.
And this is outside of college football, but the Steelers Bumblebee uniforms.
Oh, God.
It literally.
They're
it
bringing
like,
those back.
Yeah.
Did you see? They're bringing them back in like a new.
Ugly. Ugly. Now, the helmet, I can. I'm like 50-50 on, but it looks like somebody, like you go to a track marathon and you know how you get that paper like kind of stapled on the front of your chest. It looks yeah. like they did that.
What are your thoughts on, because I had a history teacher that played in this uniform along with Stephon Diggs, the Maryland state flag uniforms. I have
stuff to look at.
I hold them pulled up right here.
Yeah.
I actually like them.
You like those?
I think they look good.
I like their current uniforms a little bit better. But
I do
the Maryland
too.
Maryland flag's all over the place.
There's a lot going on with those uniforms. On CFB 25 or 24, I played with Maryland in my dynasty, and they have those yellow jerseys with the black pants. Those, they're kind of weird looking. I'm indifferent mostly, but it's weird to look at.
Yeah, I do like Maryland's colors. I think it works well. I like their mascot. Just unique. That's the thing I love about college football and college sports in general is you have so many teams that have such unique colors. Like Maryland, granted you could call them the Kansas City Chiefs, but they use it in a different way. North Carolina has probably the most unique color scheme in all of college sports. And then you have these teams that are like, you know, Kentucky that uses blue or Mississippi State. I know there's a lot of maroon teams in the nation, but Mississippi State uses it in a way that, you know, you don't really see. Then you have Oklahoma that uses these things. That's my problem with some of these awful jerseys is that they use these colors in probably the worst way possible, like Florida's gator skin. Like,
oh, just now, do you remember the Oregon Duck uniform, like the actual, like, with
fantastic.
The orange. I actually like that.
Amazing.
I thought it was very creative.
The orange face mask.
Right.
Yeah, all
and
about it.
We got recent news of a great uniform coming back. Baylor. They're bringing back
chrome helmets.
Gold chrome helmets. So fine. Shout out to the Baylor Bears.
Let me ask you, I know we're going down a little bit of a tangent here, but that's okay. I've seen some hate from my friends and a lot of people online for Miami and their color scheme and their uniforms. What are your thoughts on Miami? Because I really like them.
They did one where it was like recycled plastic and they like put it in their uniforms.
Oh.
I did not care for that one, but I have no problem with
that. Was
Miami's.
It Miami that did the Braille uniforms? Where it had
that was the Orioles.
Really?
Where it had their names
yeah.
on the back in Braille.
I don't have a problem with Miami. I think Miami, like when they do their all black. Or,
the all black is good. My favorite is the all green.
Yeah, yeah.
White helmet with green
or if
top
they do white, orange, white. Like, I like that.
Yeah.
So I don't have a problem with Miami. Another Adidas school.
Have you guys seen Georgia Tech's new uniforms?
I have not.
They're fine. Go ahead, Frazier.
I was just going to say, like, circling back to Tennessee and the whole Adidas thing. You know, Adidas, and I'm all for recycling goods, like being proactive with the earth. That's great. Tennessee's going to have to watch out for that a little bit. Because I know they
recycling
have,
the earth.
You think they're going to have to do that? No, they're going to do that.
Adidas does that stuff. They recycle. You know, their I don't know how to really describe it, but they like recycled goods into their uniforms and stuff. Like, I don't know if that's going to, you know, deteriorate the, you know, form of the jersey.
Do you wear 47 brand?
I do.
Hats?
Yeah, yeah.
They recycle plastic water bottles and put them into your hats.
Okay, well then that's great.
I think Miami was doing that because they're close to the ocean and they're like trying to promote like, oh, we got to save the turtle or whatever.
Well, the reason why I say this is because like,
save the turtle, you know?
A lot of those Ultra Boosts you see with Adidas, like they have recycled, I guess, produce in there.
Ultra Boosts are great.
Yeah.
Very expensive, but
I'm just saying it's an Adidas team now. They're an Adidas school, so like, Adidas. You got to watch out for that stuff. I'm just saying.
One more that was revealed yesterday that I don't like. Nebraska's all black. I think it looks terrible.
Really? I'm in favor.
I think all black, all white.
Well, here's the thing.
It's hard to mess up.
They're going white helmet, black top, white bottom.
Now that, yeah. If they got like a black helmet, but I can see they're a very traditional style school, so I don't see them changing from the typical Nebraska helmet. But if they were to do all black, I think that would look clean.
Like a matte black helmet?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I'm with you on that.
Yes. I just find the lack of red disturbing.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, the big red, you know, so...
615-737-1025 is our phone line. We'll continue to take your answers on this. What is the worst college football uniform of all time? But coming up next, we'll get right back into the Titans. Obviously took a 23-20 victory home yesterday in the preseason game against Atlanta, although I'm sure not many people care about the score. But wanted to get into Cam Ward. He mentioned in an interview last week that he wants to make Brian Callahan a top five head coach in this league. And that he compared himself to some of the other quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. What do all those quarterbacks have in common? Stability. So what is required for Brian Callahan to have stability in his coaching job? That's up next. Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game.
Star was selected number one. Them and their head coach didn't make it to year two. I'm not saying that's going to happen here, but I know you have the confidence that it won't. What is it that makes you believe that you and Brian Callahan could break that somewhat of a trend?
I just think he's going to put me in the best position to succeed. And that's with my quarterback coach, Coach Bo, and the OC, Coach Nick. I mean, I'm trying to play as long as I can for Tennessee with those three guys at the helm. Those guys, they continuously give me feedback, even when I don't want feedback, and they continuously get me better. When I ask questions, they answer every question to the little detail as much as I need it. So I'm blessed to have those three, you know, in the same room with me. They push me to be great. I want to be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. And I just think the more that we continuously build our relationship, us three, Coach Callahan, continuously getting to know what I like on the field, when I like it on the field, then me also being smart with the ball and gaining that trust every day from him to have those play calls, whether he wants to go deep or do quick game. I just think he's going to end up helping all three of us out in the long run.
There you go. That was Cam Ward earlier this week talking about Brian Callahan, how he wants to play with him for as long as he possibly can and turn him into a premier head coach in the NFL. Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Parker Kelly, broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly BI membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And guys, I really wanted to touch on that because after watching the game last night, it is clear the respect that Cam Ward has for Brian Callahan. They showed a shot last night where, believe it was after that one throw, the screenplay to Eli Manor that ended up getting in the dirt. They showed a shot that made me think about that clip, and it was just Brian Callahan, hands on both shoulders of Cam Ward, just kind of walking him through the progress and lecturing him of sorts. I kind of value that relationship between the quarterback and the coach because you look at the top quarterbacks in the league, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, they all have a head coach with stability. Mahomes has Andy Reid. Allen has
Sean McDermott.
Sean McDermott, thank you. Lamar has John Harbaugh. All of those guys have stability. And granted, they are all great coaches that'll probably be in the Hall of Fame someday, especially Andy Reid. But what would it take for Cam Ward and Brian Callahan to reach that level of communication and prestige?
Yeah, for me, it kind of goes to the whole Brian Callahan having too much on his plate. If he starts delegating things to other coaches to what it needs to be, and he can primarily just focus on just Cam Ward and getting that direct communication to him, I think that's what's going to keep him in Tennessee for, I guess, the majority of the rest of the year and maybe a couple years down the road. Because as long as you have that direct line of communication and that's your only, I guess, primary obligation, then the rest will take care of itself. Because Cam Ward, from what we heard just now coming back from the break, seems like he has his head on his shoulders and he knows the direction this team needs to go.
That's a great point, because Callahan admitted last year that he's kind of head over heels in his first season. You have Denard Wilson, who's a first-time defensive coordinator in charge of the defense. You bring in an experienced special teams coach in Bones Fossil, and now Brian Callahan has the opportunity to kind of mold Cam Ward into what he's capable of being. And when they drafted Cam Ward, I told this to TD, I'm like, that signifies to me that you have to keep Brian Callahan for at least a couple
Bingo.
Of years.
Yep.
Because you cannot fire Brian Callahan, and that leaves Cam Ward in a terrible situation. He's coming in the NFL, learning a new system.
It
stunts your growth.
Yep.
Look what happened with Caleb Williams last year. You fire Matt Eberflus, and now Ben Johnson is coming in. He has to learn how to do under center play action. Caleb Williams hasn't ever done that.
Yep.
So you don't want to stunt his growth.
No, and I said this well before Cam Ward was even drafted. You might remember this, Frazier. I said, you draft Cam Ward or any quarterback, you are committing to Brian Callahan for the next 2 to 3 years if you want to be a successful football team. I think part of this is who's calling the plays. Brian Callahan is calling the plays. So I think that the playbook needs to be modeled around Cam Ward's strengths. And I think that has been to a T to a certain point. But some of the play calling last night was pretty weird. I thought that screen play was a very bad call. I didn't think it fit the strengths of Cam Ward whatsoever, because what does Cam Ward like to throw across? The middle.
Yep.
And he's throwing a screen pass to the outside on a not open receiver.
Well, I mean, you can't throw this up the seam, up the hash every time. I think Brian Callahan was a bad play call. Don't get me wrong. It was a bad play. But you don't want to give anything away in the preseason. You kind of want to be vanilla. That's the point of the preseason, getting your feet wet, right? Especially a rookie quarterback.
Right.
And something that he has struggled with in training camp is throwing the seam. Cody Barton's been there to pick him off 3 times, almost had 4. So,
yeah. And some of that is, as we've said, and as probably every show on this station has said, Cam Ward is testing the limits of what he can and can't do. Mm-hmm. The hashes are closer together in the NFL than they are college football, and Cam Ward, of course, liked to throw across the middle and found success in that in college football. Can't do that as much in the NFL, right? So I think, like we said, he's trying to figure out what he can and can't do, and I think Brian Callahan can compliment him in that. Brian Callahan can say, hey, we brought you in here for a reason, and we are modeling this offense after you for a reason. So I think it's just you need to find the strengths of each other. Brian Callahan obviously knows the strengths of Cam Ward. Cam Ward can obviously go to bat for Brian Callahan, and he should. I don't understand the narrative people are throwing out there of why Cam Ward shouldn't go to bat for Brian Callahan, because he should. That's his head coach. But you got to find a happy medium, right? You got to find a way for both to be successful, and I think that's through play calling, and I think that's through Cam Ward having trust in his coach, and I think that's through the organization having trust in the coach to develop Cam Ward. Now, obviously, we can say, well, if the Titans go 1-8 in their first 9 games and Cam Ward doesn't look that good, that probably means Brian Callahan is gone, right? Which I think is probably the right decision in that scenario. But if Cam Ward looks good and the offense looks good and he has the protection and the pass pro that he had last night and the week before, which is another note, that crazy what happens when you have pass pro, right? If he has that level of security, then I don't think you're in that situation, right? I think you're looking at Brian Callahan and saying, hey, this guy has really changed the groove and changed his mentality, and you know, he's trying to bring in a winning culture. I think we should keep him around, because things are only going to go uphill from here based on what we've seen.
Yeah, and to your point on the play calling you mentioned earlier, I want to emphasize that. And Parker, you can elaborate on this because you are a former quarterback. You know, when the Titans are in a situation now where they kind of only have one healthy running back, and that's Tony Pollard.
Yeah.
Obviously, Tajay Spears, that high ankle sprain, is still worried about.
I liked Kalel Mullins last night, though.
Yeah, but to the point of Cam Ward and Brian Callahan, as I mentioned earlier, about just honing in on that direct line of communication. Parker, for you, I don't know what your running back situation was in college, but when you don't really have a true running back, I guess, a true run game, that is, do you look at it as I now have to really hone in on my craft as a quarterback? Because for me, that's what I think Cam Ward and Brian Callahan are trying to figure out now is we're in the preseason. We're going to experiment more and more and more with the passing game rather than trying to figure out, oh, who's going to be running back three?
I want to give you an example. So I look at Georgia last year. Georgia historically has always had a really good running game. We could sit here and list their running backs that they've had all day long.
Like John Gruden.
Exactly. But Georgia ranked in the 70s last year in terms of running the football, which was very uncharacteristic. Their wide receivers were dropping left and right, and Carson Beck had to put that offense on his shoulders, and he did not have as good of a season as he did the year prior. Before the season started last year, we were all talking about Carson Beck being the potential number one overall pick. And now that he's transferred to Miami, everyone seems to forget about those conversations and thinks that he's trash. I still think Carson Beck is really good. But tying this into the point of Cam Ward, when you have a run game, it takes a lot of pressure off of you. And especially when you have a good offensive line that gives you time to throw in the pocket, it does wonders for your development.
615-737-1025. Couple of answers on our, I guess, unofficial question of the day. What is the worst college football uniform of all time? And I think some of you don't understand what college football means, but that's okay. Alex on our YouTube chat says the greatest answer of all time, and that is that ugly Tennessee orange. So well done. And Andy on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com says Predators mustard yellow. I'd like to see a Preds jersey that pops. I'm not a big hater of the mustard yellow. I like the cat. Now, I really liked the retro reverse they did a couple years ago where it was the modern Preds gold with the skate cat on it. It looked fantastic. Need to see a Navy jersey. Need to see a Navy kit for the Nashville
Predators. Actually did make a Navy jersey. It was like 2010, 2011.
I think 2011, 2012.
And they look terrible.
I wish they would do like a, like, I guess you just reverse the colors on it. Instead of it being Navy, white, has that little like baby blue in there.
My favorite, sweet. Probably my favorite Predators jersey of all time. The original away jerseys. It was the white with the navy across the shoulder and down the sleeve, and it had the Predator logo, the old Predator logo with like all the random colors on it. It had the triangle across the chest.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I'd like to see those back.
Do they call them kits in hockey?
No.
Sweaters? Because I know in soccer they call them kits, right?
Kits.
Calcio.
Calcio. Sorry.
No, that's good. Calcio.
Calcio.
Talking Calcio coming up later today, right?
Yeah. You can hear that here on the Game Nashville Sports Network. And we're talking Preds. Look at this PBR shirt, by the way.
Oh.
Yeah. I got that last night. So if you're going to PBR this weekend.
Looking fresh.
Tonight, 6:30 at Bridgestone, and then tomorrow at 1:30.
So. While we're teasing podcasts, the Air Raid with Parker Kelly coming up right after us, and then my show, Ring Knowers, with myself and Christian Skelton coming up right after that. But as for this show, we'll continue the conversation on the Titans. What does Brian Callahan need to do to win you? As the fan over, 615-737-1025, we will take your answers on our text and phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That's all coming up next. Weekend Huddle, Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, and Parker Kelly here on 102.5 The Game.
Yeah, I'm very encouraged. I mean, that ball he threw that got dropped was an unbelievable throw. He's showing all the things that we need to see from an operation standpoint. Certainly the penalties put us in some unfavorable down and distances. Would have liked to have stayed on the field, obviously, and move the ball a little bit. But the holding and a false start on a third and short, you know, that put us into a third and longer, not ideal, you know, but that's really not on him. You know, those are things that we got to do better around him. But everything about Cam as far as you know, handling the operation, being in the stadium, two road environments, all that's great. A really good start for him. And then we got one more chance to come play at home and get ready to go.
There you go. That was Brian Callahan last night after the game. 23-20, Titans take the win over the Falcons in a score no one cares about. It's more about the development of Cam Ward and the chemistry between him and Brian Callahan. As you heard in that clip, Brian Callahan said, Cam Ward looks great. He threw some great balls last night that just weren't caught, and the development process is going exactly as planned. Weekend Huddle here, Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, and Parker Kelly here with you for 30 more minutes. Let's continue the conversation here. What does Brian Callahan need to do to win you over as far as even outside the development of Cam Ward? What do you need to see from him?
More transparency and also responding to media right after practice and not the next day. I know that's just me nitpicking, but that has to change immediately. Because look, We all know this. After week one in Denver, are they going to wait until Monday morning to do a press conference? If so, they are solely just doing that to save his job for the year.
Well, they'll do a press conference after the game and then one on Monday. So
I know.
I'm
just being sarcastic.
Right. I know we were talking about this off the air, but yeah. I'm sick of the, everybody's had a good training camp.
Yep.
Like Van Jefferson with the drop yesterday. Well, that's not indicative of what he's done in training camp. Has everybody just had a good training camp? Like, I'd appreciate just a little bit more honesty. I do like the glass half full approach because I'm more
he's a positive guy.
I'm more optimistic than pessimistic, but let's be a little bit more honest. And if you're not going to be honest, at least keep your answer short and sweet like Mike Vrabel.
Hey, you had a great training camp, by the way, Parker. Just want to let you
know. Thank you. So did Connor.
Yeah, Connor.
No, I
so well as foot.
The injury is not indicative of the training camp he's had.
I don't think I'm gonna make the cut this year, boys. I may just have to stick to live and local radio on Saturday mornings. But for me, I think it's the progression of Cam Ward. If Cam Ward can look good and elevate this offense and be the number one pick caliber kind of player that you drafted him to be, then I think the rest will take care of itself naturally for the offense. I think Brian Callahan, do I trust his play calling? Not as much, but other than that last screenplay he ran last night, I thought the play calling was solid. I thought, you know, you have the pass pro to open it up a little bit more and throw it down the field. You have the quarterback to throw it more down the field that you don't have to worry as much about the back-breaking interceptions and hands behind your head and rolling the ball down the field to Tajay Spears. You don't have to worry about that as much anymore because, yes, he's a rookie quarterback. He's going to make some mistakes. And I think, Titans fans, you need to brace yourself for that. Don't give me the meltdown of we drafted the wrong guy. We should have taken Shador, who's a fifth rounder, by the way. So multiple teams passed on him multiple times. Don't give me that meltdown when Cam Ward throws his first pick in Denver or against Los Angeles. Instead, I think you need to take what is happening on the field in a grand scheme of things mindset. You need to look at it and say, okay, this isn't going to set him back any, but he needs to know that he can't throw that ball that way, or he missed that read. He needs to work on his eyes a little bit more. And I think Brian Callahan can really help Cam Ward with that in a sense.
Yeah, and I also think when you talk about that, it will really come down to after week one in Denver, because if Cam Ward has, like, let's say he has six mistakes or seven mistakes in week one, and he goes back and watches film the next week after that and goes, wow, I need to fix this, and this, and in week two, he fixes all those mistakes and doesn't make those, that just goes to show you that this kid has got it, and Callahan doesn't need to really worry about protection or worry about anything else. He just can worry about play calling at that point on.
So here's a stat from Cam Ward that I find interesting, and TD tweeted this out. Five of his seven pass attempts have traveled at least 10 yards down the field, and through two games, nine of his 15 attempts have been 10-plus yards, and he's completed four of those nine throws. And that doesn't factor in the drops.
Hmm.
So he's not been shy about throwing the ball downfield, which I love.
Right.
I want my quarterback, especially if you're a gunslinger, I want you to take those shots down the field. But that also comes with, he may turn the ball over it sometimes, but that's just part of the package you get with Cam Ward, but you're hoping that he's going to make more of the good plays than the bad.
As a former quarterback, Parker, when you look at Cam Ward, and you know, a lot of coaches, they want to set the tone by, like, I'm old school, I love to set the tone with the run game.
Yeah.
As a quarterback, and please elaborate on this too, Connor, what do you prefer as a quarterback when you want to set the tone? Is it a short pass, long pass, medium, or is it like a plethora of short passes to kind of get you in the groove?
It honestly just depends. Personally, I was always one of those, I wanted to start the game with play action, take a shot down the field, but that's just me. I mean, every quarterback's different, but I've also, like, mentioned, I didn't really get into the groove of the game until I got hit.
Mm.
Like, that, I feel like that first hit that I get, okay, like, now I'm ready to go. So it's different for every guy.
Connor. Yeah. Well, I'm not a quarterback, so
you're a coach, though.
I can't. I am a coach.
Your play
coach
calling Newt is pretty solid.
The North Carolina Tar Heels are number three in the nation and working on winning their first national championship.
Oh.
But I mean, I'm with you. I like setting the tone as little as I possibly can. Run up the middle for see how much you can get. If that works, run it again, and then you can talk about throwing the ball down the field. I'm not run, punt. But I'm, as a coach, I am more of a air raid kind of guy. See what
moving the ball down the field.
Move the chains.
Love it. Love it.
But I think Brian Callahan is kind of learning that too. Like last year, he was pretty conservative with the ball. He would run it and run it. And I don't think he has the running backs to do that. Now you have a quarterback that you can build trust to move down the field. And, you know, the connection with Calvin Ridley has been great. He's obviously developing connection with the young receivers and Elik Iomanner and Chimere Dike and guys like that. So I think you can build trust in having your guys now and your quarterback. And that's something Brian Callahan, I think you could almost look forward to in him. If things work out for him, he's building trust with a young quarterback and young receivers and a young offense. So I think that is definitely the takeaway for Brian Callahan. 615-737-1025. One final segment here on this Saturday coming up. And as we will do every day, every time we're on the air, we will close out the show with your favorite game, our favorite game. Maybe not your favorite game. Celebrity Birthdays is pretty popular. But your new favorite game, Where Are They Now? Nick Frazier has the podium. He will host. Parker Kelly and I will go head-to-head. Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game. One last segment here on this Saturday morning. Weekend Huddle here, 102.5 The Game. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, and Parker Kelly. And to wrap it up, as we do every week, or as we will every week, this is our first time wrapping it up in this capacity, but we will play your favorite game, our favorite game, Where Are They Now? Quick refresher on the rules. We will give you, or Nick Frazier is hosting today, 5 players, 3 of which are in North America playing professionally. That can be across any sport, football, basketball, hockey, baseball. We had golf one time, which was a bit of a curveball. But the last
two, it was worth a shot.
The first 3 are in North America. Last 2 are anywhere in the world, not named North America. 1 point for league, 2 points for precise team. And if in the case of a tiebreaker, which very well may end up being the case today because Parker Kelly and I are a bit rusty at this game, 1 player, all destinations they played, guess the player you win.
Exactly. You've summed it up perfectly.
Good. Let's do it.
You're good.
My voice is going out on me, so I'm doing my best.
Hey, we've done 3 hours of radio, baby.
Yeah, 3 hours. Let's do it.
All right. I'm ready to go.
All right, go for it.
All right, first on the list we have Samson Nakua, brother of Puka Nakua.
Ah.
Yes, went to BYU, played wide receiver.
Ah.
Where is Samson Nakua?
Samson Nakua.
I actually know this.
Do you?
I think.
Okay.
I have no idea, so.
You want to go first?
Yes. Samson is in the UFL for the Memphis Showboats.
Okay.
He is in the UFL for the Michigan Panthers.
Wow. I thought you guys would get this. He is currently in the NFL with the New Orleans Saints.
Really? Was he in the UFL prior?
He was. Okay. With the Michigan Panthers.
Because I remember seeing him on a broadcast.
That's kind of why I did this, because I knew that you may not have known that he went to the NFL.
He's got some redemption.
I was about
to
say, is he on the Rams practice squad right now just because he's a, you know, it's Puka's brother.
Yeah.
But
where was he in the UFL before the Saints? Do you have that pulled up?
Panthers.
Oh, it was the Panthers.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, my.
Yeah, you were pretty close. The other one here, very, very familiar. We're talking about Baylor bringing back the chrome helmets.
Mm-hmm.
This guy played in the chrome helmets era. Sean Oakman.
Oh.
You guys remember Sean Oakman?
We've done this before.
Have we?
Yep. It's okay. He knows it.
Was I not here?
No, you weren't here.
Can I go first?
Sure.
CFL for the Toronto Argonauts.
Okay.
Yeah, ditto, because we've already done this and he knows the answer.
It's not the Argonauts. It's Montreal Alouettes.
Oh!
Damn it. I just saw someone in Canada post a hat of the Alouettes.
It's Montreal Alouettes. Yeah. Okay. I'll double check it, but I'm pretty sure it was Montreal Alouettes is what it said.
Well, regardless.
Okay.
1-1.
We are tied
1-1.
At 1.
Yeah.
In a very great pitcher's duel.
Okay. Next one on the list is a North American baseball player, Josh Bell.
Oh,
228 average. He was a 2019 All-Star, 2022 yep. Silver Slugger.
I think I know this.
Where is Josh Bell?
Josh Bell.
And let me give you a little hint. He's a trade deadline guy. So.
Oh, then he's not where I think he is.
And this is in North America. Yes. Anywhere in North America.
This is Major League Baseball.
I'll say Josh Bell.
Well, just gave away half the answer.
Yep.
Josh,
thank you for
that. Josh Bell's in the majors. He was in Cleveland.
You have a 1 in 32 chance.
Yep. I will go Minnesota Twins.
Okay.
Okay, Josh Bell in the majors for the San Diego Padres.
Close, but no cigar. He is currently with the Washington Nationals. First base.
He was just there, too.
Yeah.
Oh.
So we got the league, right? Yeah. So that's a point.
So yeah. 2-2.
2-2. All right.
As we head towards the most fun part of the show where we just make up teams that don't exist.
Oh, this one will be kind of cool. I went soccer oriented, so sorry.
Oh, my. We're screwed.
That's okay.
We're
screwed. No, no. U.S. men's national player, Timothy Weah.
I don't know who that is.
Tim Weah.
He said that like I would know who that is. I don't.
I mean, he's well known.
Oh, okay. Timothy Weah.
Europe.
This is anywhere in the world?
Anywhere in the world.
Oh,
so
gosh.
It could be China, it could be Australia.
Australia.
It could be Spain.
You know, one of these days we're going to see a. Australian rugby player pop up when you host.
Oh.
Okay.
I should have.
I have a guess.
Can.
Yeah, you still can.
He's playing breaker. For the Saudis. Timothy Weah.
Incorrect.
Playing for the Saudis.
Incorrect.
Okay.
I'll say to cater to Nick Frazier, he's playing in Italy for AC Milan.
See, I don't know how. Because you got the league. So currently, I'm not going to do the loan thing. That's too difficult. He's playing in France. He's playing for Marseille.
Okay. Yeah.
Did he play in the Olympics?
No, I don't believe okay. so. He's owned by Juventus, who's an Italy team.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That's where Ronaldo used to play.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, look at
exactly.
you.
Yeah. I played FIFA. Okay.
Yeah.
I know. Well, it wasn't Juventus in the game because they lost the rights to market them.
Yeah.
So it was some random like Italian name. They put together.
All right, next on the list I have here is Yusuf Musa. He's another...
Who the hell are these people?
He's a U.S. men's national midfielder. He's a youngster, plays overseas.
Okay.
Musa.
Eunice.
Yeah. All right, Connor.
I'm going to name my kid that.
Eunice.
I'm going to say he's playing in Portugal for... FC Portugal.
The nation?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know any Portugal teams.
That's fine.
I'm going to say he's playing in the Netherlands. I don't know a team in the Netherlands. FC Netherlands.
Yes. Yeah.
He's an AC Milan guy in Italy.
Are you serious?
I kind of gave you guys a little crutch here, you know, Italian, all that.
All right, so it's 2-2.
Here we go, going to the NRL Australian rugby.
You've got to be kidding. I told you, Connor. I told you this was going to happen.
He opened up the door. All right, here we go. Former New York Jet running back, Valentine Holmes.
Oh. I think I've talked to you about this before, Frazier, so I might have the edge over here.
Oh, wait, this isn't the tiebreaker. This is, or is it?
It is a tiebreaker. I have plenty to go here,
okay.
So we're good.
Okay, Valentine so we may
Holmes,
be going for a while.
Yeah, he's a winger, and, you know, he's somewhere.
So. Valentine Holmes is playing in Australia.
Okay.
For,
well, this is a gift.
Can you not dock me because I don't know any team names? I'm just going to,
no,
Jackrabbits.
That's pretty close.
I mean, he's obviously playing in Australia because we're doing Australian rugby. You know what? I'm going with Old Faithful in honor of Jake Lyman not being on the show anymore. The Manly Sea Eagles.
Oh, so close. It's the St. George Illawarra Dragons.
Yeah, I don't know.
Illawarra?
Of course it's a dragon team. Yeah. I always come up with the...
We always go Tigers or Eagles. Yeah. Mm. All right. Next on the list. Here we go. Going down.
We're just
going
to keep going. This is golden goal
until we get a winner.
Yeah.
We have to. No
I mean,
ties.
We got time to kill.
No ties and no fall weddings.
Exactly.
As Dion says, we got time this morning.
We do have time.
All right, going over to soccer one last time. I have some other ones. Where is Harry Kane?
Oh!
Soccer player. Striker. Forward.
Is he still where I think he is?
I don't know.
I don't know. You have
you
to guess.
Tell me.
He's playing in the Premier League for Tottenham Hotspur.
Okay.
Harry Kane sounds like an Englishman.
Pretty good.
I don't know any teams in England. Oh, gosh. I'm just going to say he's playing for Great Britain.
Great Britain?
He plays for Bayern Munich in Germany.
Oh, that was my next guess.
Okay.
I actually know that team. That's Brett Kern's team.
They're going to go back to the over to the pond here in North America.
Please,
let's go.
Where
is I just had his name.
Hey, you came prepared today.
I got it.
This is college football overtime rules.
Yeah.
We're in the 2-point conversion stage
seven
now.
Carlos
overtime.
Santana. Where is Carlos Santana?
He's in North America somewhere.
Yeah.
Is he?
Carlos Santana.
2019 All-Star, along with Josh Bell. 2024 Gold Glove Award winner.
And this
2019 Silver Slugger.
Is this North America or anyone? Anywhere.
I've kind of opened up the door to either it's North America or the world.
Okay, so he's in the MLB because he's won those awards recently, and he is playing in AAA Biloxi.
I wonder who told you that. Where you learned that team from?
Oh, my goodness.
Were you over in 94.9 The Fan this week or something?
I don't know.
Since it's the door is open, I'll say he's playing in Spain for the Spain Tigers.
Ding, ding, ding. Parker Kelly gets
Let's
the win.
Let's go.
Not the Biloxi, whatever you said. He is in the majors, playing for the Cleveland Guardians.
I'll take that.
Very underrated player, by the way. I don't know if you guys follow Carlos Santana. Very underrated player. He's a fantasy gem. Guy has a 241 career average.
Wait a minute. I have a protest.
Uh-oh.
The majors is not AAA.
Well, he said majors to start his statement.
Yes.
And then he just named a random team, which I disregarded.
Okay. No complaint
from
me.
We can get another one going.
For the record.
I think
No, it's over.
I mean, we'll let him have his win. We'll let him have it.
For the record, I am 3-0 against Connor in this game.
Yeah, he is.
So,
overall, how did I do? It was pretty solid.
You did good. It was a
just
bunch
all
of people
the soccer
I've never
players.
Heard.
I can't like
that's what you're going
to
get.
I would like to, you know, get the culture going here a little bit where you just open up your palate to like, you know what? Maybe I go overseas and watch a soccer game.
I do have a question.
Sure.
So, Nashville SC played a game like 3 years ago, and I was there. They played LAFC.
Yeah.
And there was a player for LAFC that was very famous, had the man bun. What was his name?
Oh, Gareth Bale.
Gareth Bale.
Big golfer now.
Yep.
I watched him play in Geodis. I got invited to go to the NSC Atlanta game on the 30th, and I had to tell the guy no, because you know why? What? College football's on that
exactly.
day.
Thank you, Connor. Thank you.
I'd rather watch the real football.
That's the one negative when I go to, like, you know, to the NSC games, or matches, as they call them, is college football's on. I'm like, I want to watch this game.
I know.
Well, it's the first day, so Clemson and LSU play that night.
Right.
You bet your sweet tush I'm going to be on that couch watching.
You bet your sweet
tush. I got a free ticket to a Nashville SC game, and I looked at their schedule, and I'm like, all these are Saturdays in the fall. Like,
It's in the supporter section, too, where they yell at you if you don't, you know, get blackout drunk and scream at the boys in gold, so... And there's no seats either.
Yeah, you got to stand.
Yeah.
I will say, though, to Nashville SC's credit, they've done really good this year. Just they're on a little bit of a losing lull because they lost to San Diego and now lost to St. Louis. But luckily, FC Cincinnati and a few other teams above them in the standings lost and dropped points. So Nashville's still in the race for the Supporter Shield, which is like the President's Trophy, best record in Major League Soccer.
So like hockey.
Yeah. So they're still in the race for that. Then they also have the U.S. Open Cup coming up, I think, near the end of August?
I think that's the thing I don't understand about hockey most is, you know, or soccer most, is you have all these in-season tournaments, and everyone is like, if Nashville SC wins this tournament, it'll be their first ever championship in the city of Nashville. And I'm like, isn't the MLS league the entire championship?
Yeah, but the U.S. Open Cup is the oldest North American tournament that is, I guess, recognized in North America, that is. So, like, it's one of those, like, trophies that you just kind of look at, like, yeah, this is important.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
I have loads to contribute to this conversation, by the way. But
it's considered a pro sports
Speaking
title,
of things so. Parker has loads to contribute to, what do you think of hockey this year? Just in general.
Yeah, you're the hockey guy.
Yeah,
I know, I am the hockey guy. I'm surprised we didn't talk any hockey today. But it's a very exciting season coming up. Panthers are about to three-peat. So.
Wow.
Who's their best player?
Their goalie. Sam
Bennett?
Sam Bennett. Mm. He's not their goalie, but he's a great player.
Sam Bennett's a forward. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Close
That's enough. What I meant.
Let's so, not forget about Matthew Tkachuk.
Oh, Robbie Tkachuk. Stanley, if he is out there listening, is just face-palming right now.
Yeah.
He's a big fan of the show, by the way. He wanted me to tell you that.
Yeah.
He told us that,
Joe Rexler and I have a new show coming up called The Gout Hour.
Really?
Where we will discuss our toe
the
injuries.
The Gout Hour.
So it's with the Rifleman and the Bubble Boy?
Bubble Boy?
Well, they were talking about Seinfeld, the Bubble Boy.
Yeah, Bubble Boy. Yeah.
The Gout Hour sounds like something PBS would put out to avoid getting gout.
Yeah.
They've already talked about to Connor about licensing, so.
Yeah, I'm already sponsored by Zaxby's. Well, that'll do it for us here on Weekend Weekend Update. I almost called it the SNL skit. Weekend Huddle here on 102.5. Fun show today, guys.
Where are the Foo Fighters at tonight?
They didn't make it today. Instead, we will send you out with Shania Twain.
Oh, okay. I'm a fan.
Man, I feel like a woman. But that'll do it for us here on Weekend Huddle. Not Update. Huddle. For Nick Frazier, for Parker Kelly, for Jake Wallman behind the glass, my name is Connor Newt. The Air Raid with Parker Kelly coming up next here on 102.5 The Game.
Be a friend, tell a friend. No fall weddings.
See ya!